As we approach the very end of the year, we're mamish now beginning the last 48 hours of the year. Let's take advantage of the glorious opportunities that we have ahead of us, not let these days just slip us by. So first of all, obviously the main focus of our shir tonight is going to be Rosh Hashanah. But as we mentioned, Rosh Hashanah is 48 hours away. And there is life for 48 hours in between. So let's take a couple of minutes to discuss these 48 hours. We're going to be ending a year. Ending a year, Bezos Hashem, this means that all of us who stood last year in Davin for life, Davin for happiness, got it. I hope we can say that we all got happiness. So let's note that before we just step into the next year, again asking for life, let's note for a minute. 1 minute. You asked for life last year. Be a mensch. Right? We're not talking religion here. We're not talking being from. We're talking being menschlich. Take these next couple of days as we end the year to note. You asked and Hashem said okay and very graciously gave you a full year of life. A full year of life means that for 365 days, 354, whatever amount of hours, whatever amount of minutes it is, Hashem was busy sustaining you. You asked for it and He gave it to you. So first of all, put it here. So first of all, be a mensch. Spend the next couple of days, and the truth is you could spend some time with this on Rosh Hashanah as well. Spend the next couple of days noting, what did I ask for last year? What did Hashem give me last year? And spend some time thanking. You can know from our own experience, right? That this is a good idea and this is a good, we'll call it trick, not a trick. It certainly betters your chances of getting what you ask for this year. How you work with your kids, right? You give them treats. And then the next thing they come and say is more. Are you going to view that as favorably? Is it they come and say, wow, that was really good. Thank you.
Doesn't Hashem not the one to ask Him for more? Doesn't He love it when we ask Him?
Hashem wants us to ask Him for more. But at the same time, when you get the more, He wants you to know that He's giving it to you. And He wants you to turn around and thank. The asking for more is all the more enhanced when it's coming with the thanking. That's what he said. Many times people daven for things. People even don't daven for things. But people are getting and getting and getting all the time. You want to be like a person who, right, just gets things like this. And he walks around, wants people to put things into his hand. And he walks like this. Has his hand behind his back. Not looking who's giving it to him. Not bothering to turn around and thank. Certainly Hashem wants us to ask. But Hashem also wants you to know when He gives it to you. So don't just come now and say, alright, Hashem, I have a new list. Take some time out. Take some time out to thank Hashem in your own words. Or put it into Maidim when you're davening Shemoneh Esrei, but the truth is in your own words also. Now especially in this next little period of what we call the Yamim Meroim, the awesome days. The concept of talking to Hashem in your own words is very important. Thanking, asking, etc. So this is a good idea. Before Rosh Hashanah, take a little bit of time out to thank Hashem in your own words. To say, Hashem, last year I asked for such and such. Last year I asked for XYZ. You gave me this and you gave me that. That way you're approaching Rosh Hashanah like a mensch. Before we start addressing the religious angle of it. There's a religious angle too. The truth is not really. Really it's all about being menschlich in our relationship with Hashem. There isn't much religion in Judaism. It's really all just about a menschlich relationship with Hashem. An intense relationship with Hashem. So that, as I said, that's really parenthetical. That's not what we're going to be talking about tonight. But it's a very, very crucial point to stress in utilizing the days coming up to Rosh Hashanah. So now let's talk about Rosh Hashanah itself. What do we feel? What should we be feeling as Rosh Hashanah begins? So, first of all, as Rosh Hashanah begins, Rosh Hashanah evening, The first thing to note is that now a new beginning has begun. A new world has begun. The world has been created anew. It's a new existence, and note that you exist. Hashem created a new world, and you were chosen to be a part of that world. This is something to sense as Rosh Hashanah begins. Focus on that a little bit. Hashem picked me to be a part of His world. A world that He just created anew. Everything starts again, Rosh Hashanah. That's why the Maharshal says, for example, the Maharshal says that the halacha is that if you meet a person you haven't met for a year, you're supposed to say a special bracha. Baruch Mechaye Amesim. Blessed is He who revives the dead. Why do you say that's a strange bracha to make? Maharshal says, well, you haven't seen someone for a year, so Rosh Hashanah has passed him by. And Rosh Hashanah, once Rosh Hashanah hits, nothing continues. You can't take for granted that because the guy was around last year, he's going to still be here now. Well, Rosh Hashanah arrived, everything is new. If you meet him again, oh, you're meeting a person who was created anew. The bracha of Mechaye Amesim is apropos. So, let's apply that to ourselves as well. It's not just when you meet somebody else. That's the first thing. Hashem has created the world anew. Hashem is taking the throne, and He has picked you to be a part of His kingdom. Now, the truth is, that is something to spend some time thinking about. The truth is, if you just spend your whole Rosh Hashanah thinking about that, that's also an accomplishment. But there's more to do. Especially since you might be wondering, 1 minute, wow, that's a really great privilege, but does it really mean that I'm all that special? There are all kinds of not-so-special people who are also continuing to exist. Right? There's all kinds of, well, people who are not necessarily deserving, and all kinds of, you know, I was specially hand-picked along with 100,000 Indonesians, or whatever it is, the whole billions of people out there. Are there billions? I don't know. Whatever it is. A lot of people out there. Billions. There's a lot of people out there. Is it really so special that I've been picked? This we have to answer in a couple of ways. And you have to realize that, yes, it is very special that you were picked for the following reason. Let's understand a little bit more of what it means when we talk about a Jew on Rosh Hashanah. So first of all, the truth is that everything I'm saying is still a little bit not completely in place, because to be overjoyed that you were chosen to be in Hashem's world on Rosh Hashanah, in a sense, is premature. Because the truth is that yes, Hashem begins this new existence on Rosh Hashanah, but now, on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem is going to be deciding who's really going to be a part of that existence. So it isn't necessarily so that if you're sitting at Ma'ariv on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, you can already say, wow, Hashem indeed picked me to be a part of His world. Wait, Hashem is going through the list now. He's going to be going through the roster list and allocating the roles, allocating each person's existence. So this celebration, in a sense, is a little bit premature. But yet it's not completely premature. Why is that? So let's first of all note that yes, Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Adin. Think about that. Think about what that means in practical terms. Think about this last year. Try to think about, well, in your personal life. This is also worthwhile taking out some time before Rosh Hashanah to review the year. To review the year, think about the happier moments of this last year, the less happy moments of this year, Chas v'Shalom, misfortunes, simchas, and then think in the broader picture. Think beyond your family. Think in the bigger picture. There were tragedies this year. There were misfortunes this year. Different things happened. There were also very great things that happened in the family, in the community, in the world at large. And realize that all these things are actually contained in Rosh Hashanah. A person, Chas v'Shalom, falls ill throughout the year, or a person, Achmana Litzlan, is killed through tragic circumstances. Didn't happen then. It happened on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, the entire year is mapped out. And there's a special effect in looking at that in retrospect. Not just saying on Rosh Hashanah of this year when I'm looking at the year ahead of me and saying, well, it's all theoretical. But I'm looking back at the year and starting to appreciate there are many different events. And realizing that all this, think back to when you were standing in Shul last Rosh Hashanah. And this is actually what was being mapped out and laid out then at that time. Many people who are in Shul last Rosh Hashanah are not there this year. We are. Nachmala Litzlan, we have our mailboxes all the time being stuffed with flyers, right? Each one telling the story of another tragedy. It's overwhelming. Especially, you know, the Lamaisa, all these flyers are asking for donations and there's just so much you can give. And there's also just so much you can handle if you're reading these things all the time. But the truth is, if you can read the Hebrew, but there's plenty to read in English also along these lines, to read a little bit just in order to keep attuned to what's going on in the world out there. And to realize that yes, many people, Rachmana Litzlan, have experienced tragedies this year. While last Rosh Hashanah they were standing just like the rest of us in Shul, and they were feeling just like the rest of us that there's no reason anything should happen to them this year. Chas v'shalom. These are things to note. These are things to note. And then again, to note that last year, Baruch Hashem, we made it through b'shalom. Now what about this year? This year Hashem once again is going to be sitting and mapping it all out. And Be'ezus Hashem, we hope that this will be a year of only bracha. But, when you're looking at a year, the derech ha'olam, how it's been up till now, Be'ezus Hashem, this year will be different, is that no. Each year, there are those, like we say in the Nisan HaTokev, mi yichye o mi amus, people, right, who have no reason to think that it's coming this year, and they leave Rosh Hashanah, they leave Shul on Rosh Hashanah, just like the rest of us. But they haven't made it. What do we know about ourselves? What do we know what's going to be this Rosh Hashanah? And here we have to realize that we are in a very privileged situation, because many people will just stop there. Talk about Rosh Hashanah, that's where the discussion ends. And therefore Rosh Hashanah is a scary day. Perhaps it's a depressing day. If that's where the discussion ends, then Rosh Hashanah is a scary day. However, let's look in halacha. According to what we were just describing, perhaps we should be fasting on Rosh Hashanah. Right? Perhaps we shouldn't be wearing festive clothes, but Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov. Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov, we're told, davka to make festivities. Why? What's exciting about it? What's exciting about Rosh Hashanah? It's a scary day. Perhaps you should wear black clothing. Condemned men. What do we know? But no, we're celebrating. So the truth is, the full extent of the celebration we'll touch on a bit more later. But first we have to note one thing. Yes, Rosh Hashanah is the day that Hashem sits in judgment. But let's not picture it as though we're entering the courtroom. And there's the harsh judge looking at us coldly down from on top of the podium. What's actually going on is something else. Hashem is judging the entire world. What the outcome in Syria is going to be, that's going to be decided in 2 days. If it doesn't become clear within the next 48 hours. But that's going to be decided in 2 days. Which countries are going to prosper? Which countries are going to have tzaras? Where there's going to be famine? Where there's going to be massacres? Rahman al-Islam? That's all being decided in 2 days. What can those nations do about it? What can all these powerful nations do about it? Can Obama pull strings? No, he can't. Is he in control to decide which disasters are going to hit the United States in the next year? It's going to be decided, and Hashem, believe it or not, is not going to consult with him. Anyways, he wouldn't be able to decide. But Hashem is not going to consult with him. works for the rest of the world as well. Right? Hashem's not going to consult with him. Hashem is the harsh, not harsh, strict judge who will be making his decisions. And like we say, who can tell you what to do? However, we get a bit of a different treatment. First of all, we get notification. The rest of the world does not. Are they told that they're being judged this day? Are they given a chance to prepare themselves? No. We get notification. What's the idea? There's actually a secret here. There's a secret. Yes, Hashem is the judge judging the entire world, but there's a secret here. The judge has beloved children who are also meant to be judged that day. And the judge is already pulling strings from beforehand to make it work for his children. Now, Hashem is a true judge. Hashem is a true judge, and therefore, Hashem is not going to just, you know, whitewash things. Hashem is not going to just whitewash things. He's not going to say, alright, you sunbathe on the beach in Miami and I'll just take care of it all. No. Hashem's judgment is true judgment. But what Hashem does do is, and here's what's going on, what's really going on Rosh Hashanah. Yes, there's going to be judgment. But no, we don't walk into a courtroom to face a judge sitting up on a podium and looking down at us coldly. What actually happens is, Hashem is already in touch with us beforehand. And Hashem, kiviyachol, he comes out to meet us. Imagine if you're approaching the courtroom. Yes, and you're being led there by policemen. But all of a sudden, the judge comes out of the courtroom. He sends the policeman away and says, listen, it's me behind the... it's me who's sitting up there at the judge's podium. Me, your father. I wanted to work for you. So listen, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. And I'm actually going to give you a chance to be right there with me when I'm sitting and going through the papers and deciding what the fate should be. You can be there with me. Now I'll even give you a hand. You'll be able to shuffle papers. You'll be able to play with the papers. You'll be able to manipulate the papers. I'm going to give you the opportunity to, quote unquote, help me judge you. I'm going to tell you beforehand exactly what's going to be going on and how you can influence things. This is what's going on in Rosh Hashanah. This is what we call, and that's why Davka, it's not a paradox. It seems like a paradox that on the one hand, these are the Yamim Noraim, right? You know, days of awe, the days of judgment, Yemeidin, days of judgment. While on the other hand, these are the days that Hashem is closest to us. Throughout the entire year, Chazal say, at the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it's about those days when Hashem says, Dirshu Hashem Behimatzoi. Take advantage when Hashem is close by, seek Hashem out. Hashem is always close to the Jew. Hashem is always close. But in these days especially, Hashem comes extra close. It's like the Sfarim call it Melech Basodeh. Right? The king usually is behind closed doors. And there's a whole bureaucratic procedure if you want to get anywhere near him. But what goes on in these days is that the king leaves the palace unescorted, and he circles throughout the streets, and anybody who wants, he's available. He's available. But it's not just that he's available. Hashem has his arm open and he's saying, come, come, come. I'm supposed to be judging you this day, but therefore, Dafken this day, I'm inviting you to come close. I'm inviting you to come close and show me, right? I'm giving you a chance. Show me anything favorable that you can show me about yourself. Lay it all out on the table. And I'm willing to judge you accordingly. That's the big difference between us and the rest of the world on Rosh Hashanah. Sure, the entire world is being judged. But as far as the rest of the world goes, Hashem is judging, they're oblivious. Hashem is judging, they don't have a chance to say anything in their defense. They don't have a chance to do anything in their defense. Whereas with us, not only are we being given a chance to defend ourselves, but it's even more than that. Again, like we said before, this judgment is more than just judgment as in, do you need to be punished or not? It's a lot more than that. The judgment is, again, like we said, what is the role you're going to be playing in Hashem's world? What are the circumstances Hashem's going to be giving you in this coming year? Which are calculated not just according to your material benefit this year, but the more favorable a position you can get with this judgment, the more favorable opportunities you're going to get this year for your million year existence, for your eternal existence. And Hashem is saying, come help me stack the cards right. I'm not going to do it if you're not going to cooperate. But if you do cooperate, I'll be right there with you. I'll be right there with you, letting you get away with everything, if you're there with me. So now, therefore, we have to realize that the truth is that what's going on in Rosh Hashanah is that we are actually creating our existence. Of course, like we said before, there are 48 hours between now and Rosh Hashanah. You can utilize those 48 hours just in order to, even before Rosh Hashanah comes, to have a better case. Right? There's many areas in halacha and in spirituality. A situation is often judged by how it ended off. And therefore, just in general we say, before you need to start pulling the strings on Rosh Hashanah, you still have a chance to stack your cards in a very good way. By taking good advantage of these last couple of days, by sitting down before Rosh Hashanah comes along and not being caught by surprise, but by saying, Hashem, I realize that I have issues that I have to work on, like we've stressed already in the past. A person comes to Rosh Hashanah thinking that he's pretty much okay, he's in all the worst situation. If a person comes to Hashem and says outright, Hashem, I know that I have these issues, and I know that I need your compassion, I need your help, he's in a better position. So I say, the more a person considers himself unworthy, which really means, the more a person is aware of the faults that he has, and he starts developing a plan to work on them, the more favorable Hashem is going to approach him. So even before Rosh Hashanah, sit down for these next couple of days. Take out time. I know it's busy, especially those of us sitting on the women's side are busy preparing these last intense couple of days before Rosh Hashanah. But look, if you were able to rest away the time to come here this year, you'll be able to rest away the time within the next 48 hours to find some time. Take out some time to really prepare yourself for Rosh Hashanah and to say, what are the issues that I have to start? Where are the issues that I need improvement on? Come to Rosh Hashanah with a plan. Tell Hashem, I don't need the prosecuting angel to come and lay out my faults. Here, I'm ready to present them myself. I know these are my issues. And I know that you're willing to deal with me patiently. Have yourself already in that sense for when Rosh Hashanah comes. And then Hashem says, yes, I'm ready to deal with you. And not only that, I'm going to help you. It's even more than that. You have to realize, it's not just that Hashem says, I'm willing to help you. The truth is that by us coming and saying this, what's really going on in these days is that Hashem is actually begging us, please, I care about your welfare even more than you do. Help me out, Kiviyachol. Don't put me through this suffering of not giving you a favorable judgment. Right? We all know the parents' love for the child. The child says, it's okay, I don't care. You know, I don't mind if I get in trouble. The parent says, I can't handle it. So Hashem is saying, these are days of love. And Hashem is saying, please, not just, I'm telling you, I'm making you an offer. Come and I'll help. I'm willing to help you out. Hashem says, please come to me so I can set things up in a favorable way. Connect with that. Connect with Hashem's love. For Hashem's sake and for your own sake. Take advantage of what He's offering you. And now realize, this is very important. Like we said, Hashem is giving you the opportunity on Rosh Hashanah to actually create, like we said, He's giving you access to the files, to the computer, to a limited extent. At the end of the day, He's in control of the program, but He is giving you access. He's letting you tinker with the program, and He's letting you have a hand in deciding your own fate on Rosh Hashanah. And this manifests in a few halachas and minhagim that we have in Rosh Hashanah, but this is really representative of how we should be approaching all of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is, like we say, it's the Rosh, it's the head of the year. That's to be understood in a pretty literal sense. Not just that it's the first day of the year, it's not just New Year's, it's the head of the year. All of the body is contained in the head. It's the brain that controls all the system in the body, all the systems in the body. It's because of the brain's activity that you feel something in your hand, right? The nervous system is all controlled by the brain. And any aberration, any problem in the body, any paralysis of an arm, chas v'shalom, is that a problem in the arm? It's not a problem in the arm, it's a problem in the brain. Right? And other such things. It's the brain that contains everything about the body. And the brain that's controlling everything about the body. And like we said before, the entire year is encapsulated in Rosh Hashanah. The entire year is being laid out in Rosh Hashanah. Chof Gimel Cheshvan is already existing in Rosh Hashanah, right? The week after Purim, right? All these anonymous days of the year, all these plain, humdrum days of the year, every last day and its events are all encapsulated in Rosh Hashanah. And therefore the truth is we can live out the year on Rosh Hashanah. How does this manifest in a symbolic way? First of all, we make a point of eating sweet foods, specifically sweet foods on Rosh Hashanah. All right? You dip the apple in the honey and say, may we have a sweet new year. What does that mean? What's the significance of that? Is it just like a play on words? We do all kinds of simanim, right? In fact, there are halachas, you're not supposed to eat sour foods on Rosh Hashanah. Why? There should be no sour experience at all on Rosh Hashanah. What's the idea? It's just like playing games? Is it making shows? No. This is manifesting the point that actually the entire year is being laid out in Rosh Hashanah, and therefore you want Rosh Hashanah to be the greatest experience it can be on all fronts, both in the physical and in the spiritual way. Okay, so I don't want to get too much into the halachic aspects of it. The nice of the halacha is that even if you enjoy sour or bitter foods, you should not have them on Rosh Hashanah because of what they represent. Yes, eating a hot pepper might be a pleasant experience for some of us. But at the same time, at least when it comes to the foods, and the truth is, as we're going to note in a minute, it's still on the symbolic level, but we're going to see things that get to the more inherent level. We'll see. So yes, we eat sweet foods because we want to manifest sweetness on Rosh Hashanah. We avoid sour foods because we want to avoid any sour or bitter experience on Rosh Hashanah. But here the truth is, like was just pointed out, this is all symbolic. But we have to realize that on a more inherent level, this is very, very applicable. For example, right, this, the Mishneh Berurah notes, in the name of the Paiskin, right, that we make all kinds of efforts to eat all kinds of foods that represent all kinds of good things, because we want to experience these things on Rosh Hashanah. So the Mishneh Berurah says, and certainly you have to make sure to avoid any anger, to avoid any unpleasantness on Rosh Hashanah. Right? If you're making a point of avoiding those pickles, even though you don't mind the pickles, but you're going to lose your temper on Rosh Hashanah. You're going to get annoyed. Oh, what kind of experience is that on Rosh Hashanah? And being annoyed for 15 minutes on Rosh Hashanah is, I don't know how many weeks throughout the year. Rachmana litzlan. You have to realize that on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem is saying, let's see, what sort of life are you going to live this year? Live it on Rosh Hashanah. Show me. You can help shape your life on Rosh Hashanah. And if, for example, also, I think Gary Rutter said, we avoid nuts on Rosh Hashanah. Why do we avoid nuts on Rosh Hashanah? Because nut, egoiz, has the numerical value, it has the gematria of chet, sin. So you go so far to avoid anything that has any association whatsoever with something that we don't want manifest on Rosh Hashanah. So we avoid nuts because it has the numerical value of the gematria of chet. So the Ger Rebbe, in his typical sharp style, said, if you're avoiding nuts because it has the gematria of chet, you have to remember that chet also has the gematria of chet. Meaning that, yeah, the sin also has the gematria of sin. So avoid sin the same way you would avoid the nuts. The truth is that this is really the underlying idea of what we're doing by all these more external practices. But therefore we have to realize that yes, the 48 hours of Rosh Hashanah, what we can turn them into in a very big way is what we will be turning our year into. And therefore, right, it's one of the most conspicuous things about an operating room is sterility. Right? Everything is extremely sterile. You have to realize that, yes, all this, a lot of length in many of the Sfarim about how the beginning sets the tone for the whole continuation. And therefore, you're not, this is, we're not talking about brain surgery here. We're talking about the creation of the head. That's what's going on in Rosh Hashanah. Hashem says, it's on this day that I'm going to be shaping your year, but on this day you're also going to be shaping your year. To realize that you're in an operating room. Sterility, precision are crucial here. Make sure that on these 2 days you're really showing Hashem what you want your year to be like. Or more importantly, what sort of role you can play in His world throughout this year. I don't know, there was one point where my wife worked about 10-15 years ago. She worked for a, not 15 years, we haven't been married 15 years, but 12 years ago she was still working in an organization that was going to be expanded. She was working in an organization that was considering, the department that she was working in at the time, it was her and her boss. She was the secretary and her boss. That was that department. It was a medical referrals department. And then there started being talk about some major donor who wanted to donate an astronomical sum to really develop this apartment into something very big. Meaning, there was a lot of potential there, and to really turn it into something on an international level. I remember the feeling was very much then, we felt that we have to show quite how valuable my wife is to the department. She felt that she has to show. Right? The next few weeks will determine, up till now, she was second to the top, because there were only two people there, right? So she was second to the top, or all the way at the bottom, depends if you want to. Which direction you want to view it from. But she was, you know, second in charge. And now the question is, next few weeks will determine whether she'll still be second in charge, but now in a department that can possibly have hundreds of people. This is when we're talking about something where they were talking about developing to an international scale. Or will she still remain the secretary on the bottom? Right now it's the same person. In a few weeks it's not going to be the same person. There's going to be a second in charge, and then there's going to be the secretary at the bottom. So at that time, there was very much this feeling that she wanted to show, you know, when she was working in the office, quite how valuable she is to the department, right? To show, you know, everything that she can do. To really be manifesting in these next couple of weeks what it would be like if she will be in a chief position in this department. This is very much the opportunity that we're given on Rosh Hashanah. This is what we have to understand. Hashem is telling us, go ahead. With the rest of the world, like we said before, the rest of the world, all the hurricane, whoever's, or whatever it is, the wars, etc., Hashem says, I'm going to be deciding without any input from the heads of these nations. Right? But in your case, I'm giving you a chance. You show me what you can be in my world, and accordingly, that's what I'll decide, what kind of year I'll give you. So therefore, this is what our focus is throughout these days of Rosh Hashanah. What are our tefillahs like? Right? We want to show Hashem. These are going to be our tefillahs for the whole year. What are our tefillahs like? What is our feeling of connection with Hashem like? Rosh Hashanah is the day when Hashem takes the throne and we're busy focusing on Hashem as King. This is also something that's meant to represent how things are going to be all throughout the year. Or, right, what happens if you have all kinds of lofty plans? Right, you're going to be meditating on Hashem straight throughout Rosh Hashanah, throughout those whole 48 hours, and you come home from shul in a very, very holy state. and some annoying 9-year-old son starts nudging. A minute, you're in a very wealthy place right now, right? You're focused on Hashem, and you're with Hashem right now, and you turn around from Hashem just to yell at your kid, would you get off my case? And then you turn back to Hashem. Ah, me and Hashem, right? Oh, 1 minute. This is also something you need to be showing Hashem. What are your needs going to be like throughout this year? To realize, this is true all throughout the year, but especially on Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, you are not being tested. You're being presented with opportunities. When we say that on Rosh Hashanah we focus on Hashem being king, what that means is the realization that Hashem is controlling our lives, and therefore, yes, when one of the family members annoys me at the Suda on Rosh Hashanah, when I'm trying to talk about, I'm talking about my own experience here, alright, when I'm trying to talk about lofty things at the table and one of the kids just won't let up with his scratching, right? Oh, so Hashem is saying, 1 minute, this is also what I want you to show me. I want you to show me what's your patience going to be like throughout the year. What's your patience going to be like throughout the year? Alright, well, let's say it gets really annoying. And you do lose it. But alright, I blew it. Maybe next Rosh Hashanah will be better. Oh no, this is also something that Hashem wants to see. Rosh Hashanah is the first time where you're going to show how will you respond after a failure. That's also a first. That's a test in and of itself. In fact, right? Rachaim explains in a big sense that was by the Chet of Adam Harishon. But this is also a whole technique of the Yetzer Hara. Once you fall, you feel like that's it. There's no point anymore. This is a test in and of itself. You can find kind of view that as an end in and of itself. Will you be able to pick up the pieces after a fall? This is also a first on Rosh Hashanah, beginning to be showing Hashem how it's going to be throughout the year. Everything on Rosh Hashanah is in this sense. You come home from shul, right? The first sort of greeting you're going to give your family. The first good words you're going to be telling people. How will you be relating? You know what? This year, Hashem is going to put into your care a few of His close children that He holds very precious. One of them is your spouse. Yeah, Hashem really loves your spouse. Can you imagine? One of them is your spouse and your children. Hashem's going to be putting them into your care. Are you going to show on Rosh Hashanah? How are you going to be caring for these people that Hashem is going to put into your care this year? Realize, again, these 48 hours have all kinds of different opportunities, and you have to be thinking creatively, thinking actively, to realize that everything that comes your way on Rosh Hashanah is an opportunity. Is an opportunity for everything, every last aspect of what's going on Rosh Hashanah. You are busy shaping the case that you're presenting for Hashem, before Hashem, for the coming year. And in a big way, we'll also start to say more than that. You're busy shaping your coming year with everything that's going on in Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, of course, a person should take out time before Rosh Hashanah. Like we said, I'm demanding already a lot of time on your part, right? I said take out time for a few other things already before. But the truth is, these things don't have to be more than a few minutes each. But take out time. Like we said, take out some time to plan your Rosh Hashanah, to plan the tefillahs, to plan your own personal tefillahs between the tefillahs, right? Make a list. Don't be caught by surprise. Make a list of the things you want to discuss with Hashem on Rosh Hashanah. Take out the time and make your plan. Plan your Rosh Hashanah well. But at the same time, while you're planning, realize that it's not just about planning, because when your Rosh Hashanah is planned very well, then exactly you can run into the problem we said before. What happens when something doesn't go according to plan? What happens when the plan was that you were going to be well rested? You want to sleep on time on Rosh Hashanah in order to be well rested for Shacharis. And then at 4 in the morning, one of the kids woke up crying. So you have to realize that, yes, on the one hand, plan your Rosh Hashanah well. But on the other hand, realize that Hashem also has His own plan for you on Rosh Hashanah. Don't be too focused on your plan on Rosh Hashanah to disregard Hashem's plan for you. Realize that yes, a part of your plan on Rosh Hashanah is accepting Hashem as king. That's the main focus of Rosh Hashanah. Right? Accepting Hashem as king. Accepting Hashem as king means accepting Hashem not only as king of the entire world, but as king of you. Give him also a say in how your Rosh Hashanah should look. And relate to anything that comes up on Rosh Hashanah as challenges from him. He says, well, minute, I also want to see throughout the year how you're going to respond to this and how you're going to respond to that. The year is not going to be completely planned. You're not going to be able to decide exactly what you should be doing when. This also, this is a part of it. Now, as we said, a major part of this all is, again, what we were just discussing now, really, was details. But the main point of it all, the main thing, if we can sum up what we're doing on Rosh Hashanah, is like we say, Malchus Shamayim, Hamalochas Hashem, accepting Hashem as King. And that's everything that we're discussing should really all fit into that framework. And here's where we come back to what we started with. We're already understanding that there's a big difference. Yes, when you start the year on Rosh Hashanah, what it means is that Hashem created His world anew and He chose you to be a part of that existence. Yes, there's all kinds of other nations also, but as we already discussed, the other nations are judged in more of a wholesale kind of way, and their existence is more of a wholesale kind of existence. You know why? Hashem brought I don't know how many millions of Chinese into existence this world. It's not going to sound nice, but whether we like it or not, this is the Torah Hashkafa. You know why all those Chinese are there? Because you need all those products that are made in China. That's why all those Chinese are brought into existence. Doesn't sound nice? This is actually very complimentary to the Chinese. Because otherwise, their existence has no meaning at all. This way, they have a meaningful existence in Hashem's world. That's why the Chinese are there. That's why the British are there. That's why the French are there. That's why all the other nations are there. And therefore, no, there's a big difference between you and them. You were brought into this world on Rosh Hashanah. If you're a Jew, then the reason you're here is that Hashem wants you as a part of the main role of His plan. Brought you into existence because He wants a relationship with you. He brought all kinds of other people into existence too, to serve as the background, to serve as the infrastructure for your relationship with Him. But you're in this world, why? Because Hashem handpicked you. He wants a relationship specifically with you. And that's why you're here. You have to note this. You have to note this. And that's also why, again, like we said, He gives you the chance to discuss with Him and to work out with Him the sort of year you're going to have. But the focus of the day is that, again, I am beginning the year now in the world of Hashem and at the service of Hashem. And this really, like we said before, is what encompasses everything we've been discussing. Obviously, we're really just touching the tip of the iceberg. And we could fill the next 48 hours with elaboration on these points, but we have to leave time for other things too. And Ezot Hashem, this should suffice to at least give us the direction to going to set ourselves up, Ezot Hashem, for the most favorable judgment. Judgment not just in the sense of coming away innocent or guilty, but judgment in the sense of what we said before, judgment of creation, meaning most favorable, creating the most favorable situation of me with Hashem in His world. We shall talk of Mizrecha to Ksiva Vachasina Torah.